This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, the Israeli elections lead to a deadlock. We'll have a live report from our team from the ACLJ Jerusalem, who voted in this election. Also, President Trump has increased sanctions on Iran. We'll talk about it all today on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Israel's national election still too close to call as the country tallies the results from an unprecedented repeat election.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Today is where the real horse trading begins with both Netanyahu and Gantz. They're going to be holding meetings today trying to get some sort of coalition support that they're going to be able to present to Israeli President Rivlin, who next week will make a decision about who he's going to give the nod to and give an opportunity to try to form a government here in Israel.
And now your host, Jordan Seculow.
So Israelis went to the polls again in this snap election. And right now, the next day, the votes have still not been officially tabulated, though we do have unofficial results. And right now, it looks like basically a deadlock between Prime Minister Netanyahu's Likud party and Benny Gantz's Blue and White party. Now, these are both parties. I'd say Likud is more to the right, and then the Blue and White party is kind of on the right. I mean, so politically, very similar. Now, here's what's interesting. Prime Minister Netanyahu in the past has been able to usually rely on the religious parties to join his coalition. If they were to do that today, he would be at 56. So five Knesset members short of forming a government. You need 61. There's 120 Knesset seats. You need to get to 61. So if he had all those religious parties that typically have joined him in the past, join him today, he would be at 56. So what's the key? The key is some of these smaller political parties. And one is called Yisrael Beiteinu. That is a party which means Israel, our home. Its head is Avigdor Lieberman. He was the former Israeli foreign minister. What he's got nine seats unofficially. So he could put Netanyahu over the top. But he said because the country is so divided, now this is, again, a lot can change as we speak, but because the country is so divided that the only thing that he would support is a secular unity government between Netanyahu's Likud party and Benny Gantz's Blue and White parties, I guess excluding some of the religious parties to put them over the top. Then again, you'd have to have both of those parties who are tied with the highest number of seats, Netanyahu's and Gantz's, agree to some kind of unity government. Who gets to be the prime minister? Who gets to fill the roles? I mean, a lot of key questions would have to be answered there. So again, that's where things stand at this moment until the final results get tallied. But it does appear like some major deals will have to be made for Prime Minister Netanyahu to remain in that role as prime minister. Could have had a little bit better turnout for the Likud party, but there was very high turnout in Israel. We'll get a live update about that for you in the next segment of the broadcast from our team from the ACLJ Jerusalem, who voted in this election. Very high turnout leading to a tie again. Not impossible for Netanyahu or Gantz to put together a coalition. More likely Netanyahu if Lieberman was okay with joining the Netanyahu government. But right now he's saying he wants a unity government. We're going to talk about what does that mean, because that is something pretty unusual for us here in the United States. Now, we used to have that where whoever came in second place in the presidential election became vice president. So we kind of had that in the United States before that was changed through constitutional amendment. But we will talk about that and take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. What questions do you have about the Israel election? 1-800-684-3110. And folks, the next red wave is starting to get into the top three on some of the Amazon list on politics, and we'll go through a little bit of it later. The ebook, the hardback, pre-order today. The book is out Tuesday, so less than a week. The next red wave. You can pre-order the book at thenextredwave.com. I encourage you, if you're an ebook reader, go for it. Hardback, go for it. Thenextredwave.com.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To talk to us on the air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So in a matter of months, Israelis went back to the polls. And again, they have voted in even a closer, what appears to be a closer election, where the two main political parties, which are pretty aligned on ideology, not exactly, I don't want to make those broad statements, but fairly aligned, kind of just different leadership styles. And we'll go to the talk about this with David Benjamin from ACLJ Jerusalem. He's on the line with us now. So they're unofficially tied 32-31, somewhere around there. And if the religious parties were to join the Likud Netanyahu party coalition, that would put him somewhere at 56, but that's still short of 61. So that does not get Netanyahu to the 61 necessary, which makes some of the other political parties, which only got a handful of seats, 9 seats maybe, like Avigdor Lieberman, the former foreign minister of Israel, his Betenu party, which means Israel, our home, got 9 seats. That could be put him in that kingmaker role. But I want to go right to an Israeli, a reservist in the IDF, and a senior legal member of the ACLJ Jerusalem, David Benjamin. David, great to have you on the broadcast today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jordan. I think you hit the nail exactly on the head, because you said rightly that actually the vast majority of Israelis have very similar political opinions. In fact, I venture to say something like 70% are probably within a consensus zone between what we would call moderate left and moderate right. And in fact, the politicians, they are quite happy to skip between the parties on the moderate left and the moderate right. And that's probably about 70% of the people. Just that up until now, our political system has not yielded a government that represents that consensus. It's always been a sort of a polarized affair. And of course, the obvious way out of the current crisis would be to form a unity government, which would be reflective of the majority vote. Whether that can happen, it's a bit difficult because, of course, as you correctly said, the issue has become more Netanyahu, the personality, rather than policy. And it's either for Netanyahu or against Netanyahu. So, a scenario of unity government would be far more likely to come about if Netanyahu was not in that unity government. So actually, at the moment, it's really difficult to call which way it's going to go.
Yeah, I mean, a unity government, explain that. We're talking to David Benjamin from ACLJ Jerusalem, reservist in the IDF, one of our senior legal counsels at our office at ACLJ Jerusalem. The idea of a unity government is pretty foreign to Americans because, again, until we changed our constitution, it used to be that if you whoever came in second place the presidential election became vice president. We found that didn't work very well because it was usually someone from a different political persuasion. So we changed the constitution in the U.S. What would a unity government look like, and does Israel have a history of those working?
Well, in American terms, I don't think you can really translate it directly, but it would be basically mean a government consisting of both Republicans and Democrats, wow. Just the Israeli equivalent, which would mean the large parties, which would be the Likud party, representing the more right-wing side, and the blue and white party, which actually I wouldn't call it a left-wing party. It's more of a centrist party.
Yeah.
And as I say, on most issues of policy, not that different from the mainstream Likud. If those two parties join up together, that would be a unity government. And they might add other partners as well into the coalition. There have been unity governments in the past in Israel, not necessarily long-lived, but that has happened at various junctures in Israeli history.
So right now, it appears, David, here's kind of what's interesting, is that Benjamin Netanyahu was like, if he had his usual coalition of Likud plus the religious parties, came up about somewhere 4, 5, maybe 6 votes short. He can't make that up without another partner. And is there anyone else out there other than like Avigdor Lieberman who's saying it has to be a secular unity government that that Netanyahu could go to? I know a lot of Americans, because they're familiar with Netanyahu for a long time. Is there anyone else he could go to try to build this coalition to get to 61?
The answer is there's no immediate answer to that. There's no immediate obvious answer to that. But by the same token, there's no immediate obvious answer to how the blue and white party can set up a coalition. They also have pressures from left and right.
Yeah.
So in other words, it's difficult for everybody. So perhaps the solution is just because, if they don't reach a solution, that they're gonna have to go to elections again for a third time. And hopefully that is something.
So
that
is
won't
that
happen.
What? So again, that was going to be my next question, David. So if Avigdor Lieberman says, I'm not joining you, Netanyahu, even though you've got just almost enough seats, even if you'll give me another high ranking position, like he was foreign minister. Something like that. We're not going to join. We want this secular unity government. And that's it. Netanyahu can't get to 61. The religious parties don't want to have anything to do with blue and white. They don't really know them. And that, again, would not get them over the line either. So it would be another election. Would Prime Minister Netanyahu remain prime minister and there would be like another election in a few months? Or how would that work?
Yeah, that is a possible scenario. As I say, I think the public would be very upset by that scenario.
I can understand.
But it is a possible scenario because it could come to another deadlock. So hopefully all the sides will realize that actually, none of them are winners here. So they're going to have to find a way to work together somehow. As I say, it's possible. It's just difficult. If you certainly go on the election campaign promises and the quite polarized stances that were taken during the elections, it doesn't look so possible. But, compromises is politics is often about compromise, and I think that's what's going to happen. I think it has to happen. It might actually be a good thing that everyone realizes there's no clear winner. Everyone's going to have to compromise to make things go forward.
Yeah, what's interesting as well is just kind of how unique this is for us. So I want to actually, David, take a call from one of our listeners who has a question I think you can answer better than I can. And that's Mary in Colorado. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Folks, if you've got questions, this is the time to ask on the Israeli election. Give us a call now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. It's the only true democracy in the Middle East and our number one ally in the Middle East. So it's very important there when elections occur. Mary, you are on the air with me and David Benjamin.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Benjamin. I'm just confused. I thought we just had they just had elections a couple of months ago. I remember all this going on, I thought, and that Benjamin Netanyahu was reelected, and then he was now the prime minister again and all this. And so like all of a sudden, it's like, oh, here we're having elections again. I find this very confusing. I don't know. I don't understand it. Why did they have the election before? And he was declared a winner and he's the prime minister. And now suddenly here we are a couple months later, redoing the whole thing again. I'm just
So David, I mean, what really happened was he didn't win. It's that no one got to a coalition. He was the current prime minister, so he remained as prime minister because he could not form a coalition. And there was decisions that could be made. One of those decisions was that you can have another election. That's what Prime Minister Netanyahu decided. But no one gets to like a majority in Israeli politics. So you don't like outright win. You get the number one or number two most seats, and then you have to have the best shot at putting together the 30 more seats you need to form a majority government.
Yeah. Well, theoretically, you could get an outright win. It just doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
You need 61 seats out of 120 in the parliament. And yes, so that's exactly the problem. Even if you might have a slightly larger, your party might get more votes, but it doesn't mean you can put together a large enough coalition to actually form the government, to get the 61 majority. And that's what happened last time with Netanyahu. And he could be in the same. We could be in the same position again, unfortunately.
And that again, David, means I just want to clarify for people that if that kind of situation existed, that Prime Minister Netanyahu remains in office until the next election. I mean, is there any kind of other option there other than him remaining in office?
No, that's the default. The default option is by inertia. He would be in the caretaker government until the next election. Under law, under procedure in Israel, it's the president of the country who is supposed to turn to the person most likely to be able to build the next government. And there's a certain amount of discretion involved there.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the leader of the largest party.
Right.
Sometimes you can have a smaller party, but with a bigger chance of building a bloc. So it's sometimes quite complicated. The default option will be Netanyahu continues until we have a new government.
David, final question for you. We've only got a minute left here. And the final question is this. If you had to predict today, and I know that it's almost impossible, if you had to predict based off the current statements coming out of leaders, by tomorrow, where do you think this will be?
Okay, I think by tomorrow we'll still be deadlocked. I think the negotiations on the coalition are going to take a long time. It's going to take several weeks at least.
Okay.
Logic says there has to be a unity government as a result of this. It really is the only reasonable solution that everyone has to accept. Whether that will actually happen, difficult to say.
Yeah. So the question would be, is there a unity government that comes together, or another election? David Benjamin, we thank you for joining us on the broadcast from our team from ACLJ Jerusalem. We'll be right back. Take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So we just got that update from David Benjamin from ACLJ Jerusalem on the Israel election deadlock. In the second half hour, we're going to go to our friend Johnny Daniels as well, also Israeli, who we've had on the broadcast a number of times to get his take so that you're getting kind of as many options as possible from Israelis on their election and what has occurred. So if you continue to have questions about the Israeli election, we're going to get back to that in just the next half hour of the broadcast, so in about 10 minutes from now. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And let me just say, for the next Red Wave, which is now going to be released in less than 1 week, it's released September 24th, next Tuesday. You can pre-order now at thenextredwave.com. People were taking action yesterday. They were going to thenextredwave.com. And the book actually got to number one on campaigns and elections in new releases. And it's not out until next Tuesday. So, again, a big thank you for those of you who have already pre-ordered The Next Red Wave. I mean, this was ahead of, ahead of Greg Jarrett's book, Witch Hunt, and some others that have been, again, really big books. And it got that high. It's in the top 10 on political books right now, on the ebook as well. Let me encourage those ebook readers. That is doing very well through whether it's Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And again, this is not about Jordan making more money selling books. This is about getting the books into the hands of more people. I will not be able to sell enough books to make more money off this book. What I'm doing is promoting this is so that more people read the book. They see it on these lists. They see it come up when they look for books on politics, or they're at the store looking at books on politics, and they make sure, we want them to make sure that they get the right information, right? So if you trust our broadcast and what we do, then you probably want our opinion on partisan politics as well. And this is what this book is. Stuff that we can't get into on radio, stuff that we really can't do as ACLJ, this book does it. It tells you how to organize, how to win, who to vote for, and how to vote for them, and what else you can do, how to take that to the next level, and what it's like to lose, especially after this administration when you compare it and contrast it with the Obama administration. So, again, pre-order your copy of The Next Red Wave today at thenextredwave.com. Has all the options for you to go to. Hardback, ebook, again, those ebooks are selling great. The numbers are great. You can tell just by the listing. So I really encourage you folks, whatever way you prefer, pre-order it. We appreciate it because the more pre-orders come in, the more get published, the more advertising goes out, the more people will find The Next Red Wave. It will be in more stores, more places, and that's what we want if we actually want victory in November 3rd, 2020. So go to thenextredwave.com, pre-order my book, first book that I've done today. That's thenextredwave.com. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get back to Israel and the deadlocked elections, but we've got something. I want to go to CC Howe that we're doing. CC, this is international and similar to what happened in New York, even worse to some extent, is what's happened now in New Zealand.
Right. New Zealand, as an attempt to actually modernize their laws, they are basically decriminalizing abortion and allowing it once again up to birth. And so we have an opportunity to engage and submit a public comment. They're allowing any foreign entity or individuals to make comments, so we're encouraging that. We'll file our public comment today, just telling them that, you know, decriminalizing abortion, allowing it up to the child being born, it is wrong. That's a wrong decision.
So again, we are filing comments, but people, Than, on our ACLJ.org, we've set up that database just like we've done for comments in the U.S. New Zealand allows outside international comments. So people can go right now to ACLJ.org. We've got it set up where they can sign our comment, sign on to our comment, but they can also write their own comment. We've got that database set up for them to let their voice be heard as far away as New Zealand. They've got about, I'd say, do it like this. New Zealand is 15 hours ahead of Eastern time, and this closes at the end of the day, New Zealand, tomorrow. I don't want to get too complicated, so let's just say this. By close of business today, or if you get home at 8 p.m., tonight, even on the West Coast, get it done to get your comment in. But then we've got the system set up where they can easily just sign on to our comment, and that's great. Like with the Department of Labor, and we had 70,000 plus people do that. But on that, we also had 4,000 plus people do their own comments, and we've got that database set up and that system set up because of our great donors who allow us to create this kind of technology.
That's right, Jordan. We work really hard to make this really easy for our members to accomplish it. If they go to ACLJ.org and pull up the blog about this New Zealand law, all of the information that they need is going to be right there. They will be signing at the bottom of that blog our legal comment that we will be putting in. And then there is some, actually, we have drafted some recommended text that people can use if they want. Jordan, they can edit it if they want, but a link for them to file their own comment as well. In fact, Jordan, 184 people from New Zealand have already signed our petition to engage on behalf of the government. Of course, they're asking for comments around the world, and we want to make sure that our members do that. But just quickly, Jordan, so our listeners understand how important this was. This is very similar to what happened in New York, the barbaric law that passed there. And we've talked on this broadcast before how there are only 7 countries in the world that allow late-term abortions. Unfortunately, the United States is one of them. This would be the 8th, Jordan. That's how significant this is. So if New Zealand wants comments from pro-lifers across the world, the ACLJ is going to provide them, again, all of the information in one blog at ACLJ.org. And members, we've made it very easy for them to sign both ways at that blog.
So it's incredible that people from New Zealand are signing on to the ACLJ's comment. You can write your own comment as well. As Than said, we've got preset text. You can edit that text. You can clear it all out and write your own comment in. But this, what New Zealand is proposing, would put New Zealand right in line with what New York has done, which not only legalizes and expands late-term abortion, but this actually goes further by removing any conscience protections for medical professionals.
Right, absolutely. So before this, if this law gets passed, a doctor or nurse did not have to perform an abortion. Under this new legislation, proposed legislation, a doctor or nurse would have to. They use, it's a very vague language they use, if it would unreasonably be disruptive to the employer's activities, which we know, we've even seen that in the United States, that a hospital will rely on that, and they can fire these doctors and nurses. They can rehire them or not hire them. So absolutely no conscience protection.
So you could have an objection to just late-term abortion,
yes,
not want to do, you know, abortion in the 7th month, and be fired if you don't do it. So this is what New Zealand is proposing, but they have a public comment period. If New Zealand goes this route, it would be added to the list of only 7 nations in the world that allow abortion after 20 weeks. There's only 7 countries in the world that allow it. The U.S. is one of them. North Korea, China, Vietnam, Singapore, the Netherlands, Canada, and then it would be New Zealand. Now, unfortunately, we're on that list. We're fighting so that the U.S. isn't on that list. But again, CeCe's going to stay with us. If you have calls and questions about this, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Let's keep the next red wave trending up on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, ebook, the hardback, thenextredwave.com. Pre-order the book. It's out next Tuesday. Pre-order today.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.